Desire this morning. Oh, make me more like thee, Jesus. Make me more like thee. Oh, just give me a heart that's filled. Sing it together this morning. Oh, just make me more like thee, Jesus. Make me more like thee. Just give me a heart that's filled. Every day, that's our prayer, Lord. Oh, just make me more like thee, Jesus. Make me more like thee. Oh, give me a heart that's filled with love and one more time together. Oh, just make me more like thee. Oh, Jesus, make me more like thee. Give me a heart that's filled with love and make in your hymn book. Well, I'm living below in this whole sinful world, and hardly a comfort can afford. Oh, I'm just striving alone to face temptation. But tell me, where could I go but to the Lord? Singing, where could I go? Oh, where could I go when I'm seeking a refuge for my soul? Tell me, where could I go but to the Lord? Let's stand and sing it. Oh, singing, where? My name. are kind. Lord, I love them, everyone. And we get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs some manna from above, friends, tell me where could I go but to the Lord? Oh, singing where? Oh, friend, where could I go when I'm seeking a refuge for my soul? And I'm needing a friend to say, tell me where could I go but to the Lord? Well, my life here is grand with friends I love so dear, and comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face that old chilling hand of death, oh, tell me where could I go but to the Lord? Oh, singing, where could I go? Oh, where could I go when I'm seeking a refuge for my soul? And I'm I go. Shake somebody's hand while we sing it again. Time together, we're singing where, Lord, tell me where could I go when I'm seeking a refuge for my soul? Oh Lord, I'm needing a friend to save me in the end. Oh, tell me where could I go but to the Lord?
God bless you this morning. Amen. Let's sing this together. Number 22 in your hymn book. Well, I heard an old, old story, how my Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, yes, it's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Oh, He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. Oh, He loved me. I knew Him, and all my love to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again,
Then he called the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, yes, it's victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is in him. To victory beneath the cleansing blood. Oh, yes, it's victory. My mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. All about the angels singing and that old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there that song of victory. Oh yes, it's victory. He's my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me beneath the cleansing blood. Oh, yes, it's victory. He's my Savior. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Amen. Number 228 in your hymn book.
Well, as I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. He leads me safely through that sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. Oh, this would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light, Lord, to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Lord, I need thee every hour. Oh, while I'm Lord, protect me by thy saving power. Oh, hear my feeble plea. Oh, Lord, Lord, look down on me. And when I need in prayer, Lord, I know I'll meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Lord, look down on me when I need in prayer. I know I'll meet you there. Blessed Just lead me safely to that land of rest if I a crown of life have won. Oh, I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach that golden strand. And there's no other friend, Lord, on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let's stand and sing it. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Lord, I need every single hour. Oh, while I'm through this pilgrim land, Lord, protect me by thy saving power. Oh, hear my feeble plea. Oh, Lord, Lord, look down on me. And when I kneel in prayer, Lord, I know I'll meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let's just praise him this morning. Thank you, Lord, I need. Oh, just every hour, Lord. Protect me by thy saving power. Oh, hear. Dear Lord, look down on me when I need. Oh, Lord, I know I'll meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Aren't you thankful that he's holding you? We need thee every hour. Oh, and through this field of land, Lord, protect me by thy saving power. Oh, hear my feeble plea. Lord, won't you please look down on me. And when I kneel in prayer, Lord, I know I'll meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold. Let's sing that last part again. Oh, when I kneel in prayer, Lord, I know I'll meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. One more time. Lord, when I kneel in prayer, I know I'll meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
Amen. What a privileged people we are. To know that he's holding to our hand this morning. Amen. God bless you. And we want to look again at this thought on waiting. And we've been looking at it the last couple of Sundays. And I want to just say, good to have Brother Layton back with us. He'd been sick the last few services, and we miss him when he's gone. And it's good to have him back with us and feeling better. And, you know, Satan's been fighting me all week, just all this sinus stuff and down in my ears and my throat, and can't hardly hear out of this ear, and just scratchy throat and things like that. But Satan's trying to keep me from following the leading of the Lord, but boo, devil. Amen. So we'll just try to, you just pray for me this morning that I'll have the voice and not get in a coughing fit and be able to get through the service this morning. But we looked a couple Sundays ago on Waiting 101, and we looked at that because the 101 times in the Bible it says wait, it commands us to wait. And so then last week we looked at waiting with patience, and this week with the help of the Lord we want to look at waiting with hope. So waiting with hope. Psalm 130 verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Let's just read it again together. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you this morning as a group of people that, Lord, many needs that have been read, many needs that have been represented by uplifted hands. You know each one. You know each circumstance. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God that hears and answers prayer, that we can come before your throne. We don't have to be like so many that don't have hope, but we can look with hope, expecting that we receive what we ask for. because we have so many promises that we can look for, whether it's for healing or spiritual needs or financial needs or, Lord, whatever it would be that's challenging us. Father, we can come before your throne boldly with the promise of the word. So as David said here, Lord, in your word we have hope, Father. Lord, help us just to look into your word this morning again. May it just give us a little better understanding. May it draw us closer to you. May we go out of here just a little bit closer and a little bit better Christian than we was when we came in. For your prophet told us we can't go in and out of these doors the same as we came in. Either we reject the word and we go out further away than we was, or we accept it and draw closer to you and go out in a better condition than we were. So we want to go out, Lord, as better individuals. Lord, just ask you to be with the mothers here present this morning. Lord, bless them for the sacrifices that they've made for their children. Give them wisdom and strength to raise up their children the way that you would have them to go. Father, help them not to let Satan blind them to the importance that they play. Lord, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. I might just take a moment to to speak on that just shortly. The importance that you play. You might say, well, Brother Nathan, you know, I don't have any aspirations to be a great CEO or to be president or all these different things. Maybe you're just a sister, maybe just a homemaker. Maybe you don't have a great prestigious career, what we would think. Maybe you don't have 8 years of college and degrees plastering your wall, and you may not have a great big paycheck at the end of every week. But if God called you to be a mother, he called you to be the greatest thing that he could call you as a woman to be, to trust and entrust you with the care of that child, to raise it. Abraham Lincoln said if there was any praise to be given, any credit that could be given to where he was as a man in life, as the president of the United States, Brother Branham said the greatest president that we've ever had or ever would have, he said it was to be given to his mother. Brother Branham turns around, he said, if there's any credit that can be given the Branham family, it was his wife, because she is the mother of the children there, dealing with all the pressures and things and between him and the public. And so you might think the world out here may not put you on the front of Forbes magazine, and they may not applaud you and say what a good job that you're doing. They may look down on you because you don't have a six-figure income. But what you're doing is the greatest benefit that you could do, raising up children in the admonition of God. If there is a world to come, if there is not a world to come, rather, but an age to come, another generation, then those children will be the adults of that generation. We look around and see juvenile delinquency. Brother Branham talked about it in the 50s and the 60s. I don't know what he would call it today, to look around and see the things that go on in the news. But when we see that, and yet then we see the little children that come and sit like this, come to Sunday school, mind their parents, you know, you don't realize what a blessing that you have to be raised in that way as children until you get up older. Dad keeps telling me the older I get, the more I'll realize that he's right, and he keeps proving me wrong all the time, Brother Darrell. The older I get, the more I realize he was right. So now it's my turn to tell my boys that, but many times we don't catch that till we get through those teenage years. Paul speaking here, he says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8, he said, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation, that's something that you possess this morning that many around the world don't have. They're not looking to be saved. They're not looking for a world to come. They're not looking to spend eternity with God and with their loved ones. They're just looking at, well, you know, just once around and then we'll be in the grave, and they don't have any hope. But we have a hope of salvation, and maybe you don't recognize it on a day-to-day basis, but what a privilege and what a comfort it is to have hope when there's many that live hopeless. What a privilege it is to live with hope. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now let's just bring it down to us brothers for a little while, and we'll deal with it on the brothers as far as things that we hope for. And I won't pick on Brother Jimmy this morning, because I've picked on him enough about his fishing reels and things. Maybe we'll use Brother Darrell this morning. You still got your motorcycle, Brother Darrell? All right, well, we won't use him then. Brother Jeff, did you get your motorcycle yet? He doesn't have to hope for it anymore. It's sitting in his garage. And he can go home, and he doesn't have to hope for it. He doesn't have to wonder about when he's going to get it. He's got it. It's there. It's his possession. So what we see, we don't have to hope for it anymore. We've already got it. So now, some of you other brothers, you may have your magazines at home, and you get out those auto traders, and you look for that old classic car, that motorcycle, or that boat, whatever it would be, and you're looking at it, and you're thinking, if I can just save enough money, if I can just get the kids through high school or college, and if I can just do this, and I can just do that, you're looking for it with hope. But other brothers are sitting here, they don't have to hope anymore because they're already possessors. It's just the same thing with salvation, looking for a wife, our healing, whatever it would be. Many things we look for in life with hope, and we're waiting anxiously, and we know that it exists. We know that it's there. We know that healing is possessible. We see others being healed, so we wonder, why God, am I not healed? We see others, maybe if you're single and you're looking for a spouse, you see others, they're married, they're happy, they have children, and you see, Lord, why haven't you sent me my spouse? And you're looking for that with hope, knowing that it's attainable, but you're still looking at it for hope. Others are sitting there possessed of whatever it is that you're looking for. They don't have to look with hope anymore. They don't have to wonder. They've received their healing. They've received their wife. They've received their motorcycle, whatever it was they were hoping for. They don't have to hope anymore because they see it. He says, for we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So we're back to waiting again. Sometimes, even though there's something that you're hoping for, maybe you've got faith and you're believing and hope, it just keeps that courage built up in you to keep looking for the coming of the Lord, or to keep looking for your healing, or looking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Whatever it is that you're trying to achieve, hope gives you the patience to wait for it. And you just keep hoping, and you keep waiting, and you keep praying. And it might be 5 minutes, might be 5 years, might be 50 years, I don't know. But God will eventually bring you to the promise if you hold to the faith and keep believing. It may not be in the way that we thought it was going to be. It may not be in the way that we expected it to be. As we looked a few weeks ago, here was Israel in bondage 400 years praying for a deliverer, and God sends them a baby. That's not what they were looking for, but yet God sent them a deliverer anyhow. Not in the way that they expected it, but he answered the prayer anyhow. Many were crying for a Messiah in the days of Jesus. Send us a Messiah. Send us a deliverer from this Roman Empire. And they got a baby in a manger. They were expecting a king to come down out of glory and step out and say, Caiaphas, I've arrived, the Roman emperor, you can just go on, I'm going to take over now and rule the world. But they were looking for the wrong coming, so they didn't get what they expected, but yet God sent them a Messiah anyhow. Many times when we're looking for something as believers, we can have hope. And what a privilege it is when you see so many out here, movie stars and rock stars and all these different things. Many of them, they reach a spot in their career where they don't feel like they can go any higher. And they don't have anything to hope for anymore. They've reached a spot to where in their career, you know, maybe it's leveled off or maybe it's beginning to decline, and they can look back and remember when they used to be applauded and when they used to be praised, and they miss that, and they don't have a hope of salvation. They don't have a hope of eternal life. They're not looking for that. Many of them atheists and unbelievers, and they're not looking for that. So what do? They load up a needle and fill their veins full of drugs and kill themselves or put a gun to themselves. Why? They don't have any hope. What a blessed people we are to have hope. It seems like such a little thing. You say, we want to talk about faith. Brother Branham said, faith has muscles. Well, you can't have faith really without hope. They go hand in hand. Brother Branham said that Jesus, wherever he went, he took Peter, James, and John with him. And he said that was faith, hope, and love. So they all go together. They work together. And maybe they look at one another and think, maybe they don't always agree together. You can imagine faith there with great big muscles wanting to do something, and hope sitting there, oh, maybe someday it'll happen. I've just got to keep holding on. But faith wants to go out there. Brother Bram talked about those men with bulldog faith, and people would come through the prayer line, and you know, A.A. Allen and Jack Cole and different ones, if you had glasses on, they had a little anvil there. They'd just take and break up your glasses. Bulldog faith, accept your healing. Well, that's all right for some things, but it didn't work for everything. We had a prophet that could come and could look in people's lives and see why some were being healed and some weren't, and things like that. So patience, there wasn't much patience in that type of faith. Either you just throw your crutches down and walk, or you crawl out of the building. There wasn't much patience, wasn't much hope in that. It was either they were going to shake your healing into you, or you just weren't healed. But God works in patience and in hope. as well. God works in love. And we can look around and we can think of examples of people that were without hope. They didn't have hope. The doctors didn't give them any hope. Maybe their family didn't give them any hope. I was thinking of Sister Rosella this morning, turned away by Alcoholics Anonymous, said she was a hopeless case. No hope for her. Her family had given up on her, said there was no hope for her. Even she'd had a fur coat that her mother had given her, and she fixed it on the inside, lined it with bottles all down through it, where if she was got an urge for a little drink, she could reach in there and get another bottle. And it was just her whole life revolved around that. She was without hope, but she came into the presence of something one day that gave her hope. Amen. The doctors had turned her down. Her family had turned her down. They gave her no hope, but she came in the presence of one that gave her hope. What a blessed people we are to be able to have hope. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, many today they say, you have to show me. Even one of the states, that's their motto. I think it's Missouri, the show me state. You got to show it to me first before they'll believe it. Brother Bram said, you know, many say that seeing is believing. And he said, but seeing isn't always believing. And many times he'll use this example, especially back in the 50s. In some of the early sermons, he'll go over or he'll have one of the sisters put a key and he'll say, "Did you see that? How many saw what key that I played? You didn't see it? Well, it must not have happened then." And on these keyboards, we've got transition today where even if you did see it, Sister Stephanie could be over there and I could see that she was courting C, but I could be singing and no, that's not C because she got it transposed on the keyboard. So seeing always isn't always believing. Seeing isn't always proof. You get out in the desert somewhere and you begin to wander and you begin to get thirsty and every hill rise seems like it looks like there's another pond just waiting over the hill rise. Oh, if I can just get to it. But you get there and it's just pavement or it's just sand. What is it? It's a mirage. Seeing isn't believing. They got billboards out here of people, you know, dressed in sexy clothes with their alcohol or their cigarettes or their drugs or whatever it is. And oh, they look just so happy. And that's how they're portraying it for you to see. But then you get out there and you get into it and you see those that are, and they're worn and haggard. And they got tattoos all over their body and they're old and saggy and stretched out. And what used to look like one thing now looks like something else because that tattoo's so stretched out. But they thought they were something wonderful. They used to, you know, smoke those cigarettes and be popular in school. Now they got emphysema and dragging a little oxygen cart around. It's not so wonderful anymore. Satan projected something beautiful, but seeing isn't believing. Seeing isn't always what it is. So you didn't see this, but you had another sense that you could respond to. Philip, you said I could use you, so I'm going to use you this morning. Come up here just a minute. I won't embarrass you too bad. Maybe he's not going to let me use him. Elijah, can I use you this morning? All right, stand right here, Elijah, and I'm just going to take your wrist. Now, is Elijah here? Stand back behind me a little further. Is Elijah here? I don't see him, but you're telling me that Elijah's here. Well, how can I believe you if I don't see him? Well, I can still feel him. I know he's back here because I haven't let go to him. He's still here. I know nobody switched hands with me. It's still Elijah, but I can't see him. But there's another sense that gives testimony to it. Thank you, Elijah. Lord bless you, buddy. So seeing isn't always believing. You can look at your symptoms. You can look at your circumstance. You can look at the doctor's report, and they can show you the chart and the x-ray, and they can say there is no hope left for you, and you can accept that if you want, or you can look beyond sight, and you can believe. Just as certain as I was holding Elijah's little arm there behind me, I couldn't see him. There's no way visually you could have convinced me that he was here, but yet I knew that he was here because there was something that I was still holding on to back there. I thank God that many times, even though I don't see him, there's something still that's holding on to me, the faith that's anchored down there. There's a little boy one time Brother Bram talked about, and he was sitting there by the side of the road, and he had a string up in the air, and a man said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm flying a kite." He said, "Well, I don't see anything." There was no visual proof. He couldn't prove to the man that there was a kite up there beyond the clouds. That's like a lot of unbelievers today. Well, we don't see it. We don't understand it, so they just say that it doesn't exist. It's not real. But yet this kite was way up there in the clouds, and he said, oh, it's up there. And he said, well, how do you know? He said, every once in a while I can feel it tugging a little bit. Oh, I thank God that sometimes when Satan would come to us and lie to us and tell us that we're not healed or that we're not saved or that we don't have the Holy Ghost, that we feel a little tug down somewhere, that we know that there's still something up there. We may not be able to see, but there's something that we can feel anchored down on the inside of us that it's real. Amen. I may not be able to see it all the time, but faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I may not be able to see everything. I may not be able to see. Brother Branham said he ran into that man in the meeting, and he said, Mr. Branham, he said, I'm sure you're a good man and everything, but I can't believe in what you're saying. He said, I've got to be able to see it. And he said, well, sounds like you're from Missouri. He said, oh, I'm from Kentucky. And he said, well, not a very good testimony on Kentuckians. He said, would you go home with me, Brother Branham? I'd like to fix you a meal. And he said, no, my brother lives near here. I'm going to stay with him tonight. And he said, I'd sure like to have you come home with me and fellowship with you. And he said, I just don't see this on divine healing. And he said, well, sir, he said, where do you live? And he said, oh, I've got a cabin up there around the mountains. And he said, can you show it to me? He said, no. He said, it's dark out. And he said, you can't see it from here. He said, well, how, pray tell me, are you going to find that cabin? And he said, well, I've just got a little lantern here. And he said, I just follow the path as far as I can see in front of me. He said, I just keep stepping. He said, oh, that's what I'm talking about. The faith may not be able to see all the way down the road, but it's the evidence of things not seen. And you just keep taking a step. If you feel a little bit better, you just say, praise God, I'm just another step closer. And you just keep walking in the light that he gives you. You may not be able to understand it. You may not be able to explain it. But it's the substance of things hoped for. You know that there's something there. You may not be able to see the kite up there, but you can still feel it tugging. Brother Branham said in Uncertain Sound 1960, he said, fellow said one time when he was prayed for, he said, well, said, the devil told me I wasn't healed. And said, I looked down, said, all my symptoms was there, just like they were at the beginning. Most of us would say, well, I guess I'm just not healed. I was prayed for, but my symptoms are just as bad as they were. Said, my symptoms were just like they were at the beginning. And he said, well, I said, Satan, that's true. I don't see a difference. But you know what? Until they leave me, I'm just going to testify as hard as I can for the glory of God. So now if you want to stick around and listen at me, just stay around for that. He said, that's real faith. Testify to the glory of God. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, you don't see faith, you just believe faith. It's not something that you see. As we talked of Abraham last week, can you imagine if he was like a lot of us so-called Christians that went around and, oh, well, I was prayed for, but don't tell anybody because I don't want to bring a reproach because my symptoms are still here. His symptoms were still there, friends. He was still 25 years getting around on that cane. Bless God, we're going to have that child. People thought he was crazy. People thought he was out of his mind, thought he was sunstroke or something, and he would hobble around on that cane. Bless God, it's more of a miracle this year than it ever was. He wasn't afraid of bringing a reproach. He wasn't afraid of people calling him crazy. He was holding on to the promise. He couldn't see it. He couldn't feel it, but he had an experience of something that had taken place that faith had anchored down, and God had spoken. He believed God's word, and it didn't matter what any critic said. It didn't matter what any fanatic said or what any backslider or defector said or what Lot was saying down in Sodom. He just kept holding on to the promise. And the promise was fulfilled. Didn't happen right then. Didn't happen immediately. But in patience and in hope, he waited. And faith brought it to pass. St. John 5 verse 2 says, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there 8 years, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto them, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to pull me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise up, take up thy bed, and walk. He had been waiting, and they were all there waiting for the troubling of the water. But Jesus happened to go by his way one day. This man had been laying there. He'd been sick for 38 years. This wasn't something that, you know, just happened like that. He had been waiting, and he'd been waiting. Maybe he'd get a little closer to the pool, and a little closer to the pool each day. And, you know, it being lame or impotent there, and it not being able to get quickly enough into the water, yet there was others that would go by quickly. The Bible, I believe it was not the Bible, rather, but historians, I think Josephus said that they would even, people would stab one another even, trying to fight for the spot to get in when the angel came and troubled the water. Sounds like a lot of so-called message believers today, fighting one another over a blessing. No, I'm gonna have the blessing. No, I'm going to have the blessing. And so they would fight over it and try to get in, and Jesus walked by one day, and here's multitudes, thousands of people laying out here waiting for the moving of the water, just waiting for the angel to stop by, and here walks God in flesh out amongst them. And can you imagine being that day, there that day, and maybe you're all just laying out in the area, just blankets all around, cots and stretchers, and here comes a man that they're claiming is the Messiah, and maybe some of them start to get excited. Here comes Jesus. Maybe we won't have to wait for the trouble in the water. Maybe he'll just heal us all. And he walks out there in the middle of the crowd, and he looks down, and here's a man laying on a cot, been there 38 years, and he said, Wilt thou be made whole? He said, Oh, I'd love to, Lord. But he said, Every time I go to try to get to the water, said, There's one that beats me to it. But he didn't recognize the water had came to him. The water had came to him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am that bread that came down from heaven. I'm that water that if you drink of, you never thirst again. And the water came over to him and said, Wilt thou be made whole? He said, Lord, I'd love to be. He said, Well, take up that cot and walk. Take up that cot and be made whole. And he began to stand up. There it was, thousands of them out through there. And Jesus came by and healed one. Why? It was his time. He had waited. And with hope and with patience, he had waited for the moving of the water. And finally, faith anchored down. And it called Jesus out by vision to walk right out there in the middle of the people and heal one man. I believe he had power to heal them all. But they weren't all in the condition to be healed. They weren't ready to receive it. 1963, influence. Brother Branham said, that man sitting back there. There, don't you see that light? He's very bad. He has a tumor in his throat. He has had an operation. The doctor don't give him much hope for it. Do you believe that God will make you well? Do you accept it, Mr. Stone Lake? He had his attention then. Do you accept it, Mr. Stone Lake? Do you believe with all your heart? All right, stand up on your feet. Jesus Christ, make you well if thou canst believe. What was it? The same gift manifested in a different man. Centuries later, he comes down the steps to the platform, and there's a man out in the audience that the doctors haven't gave him any hope, but yet hope steps to the platform in the form of a prophet and says, Stand up, Mr. Stone Lake, you're healed. What was it? Something to give us hope. Something to give us hope. The Bible said God's not a respecter of persons. So if you have a need this morning, God cares just as much about you as he did Mr. Stone Lake. God is just as obligated to you this morning as he was to Mr. Stone Lake. Lamentations 3 verse 25 said, The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Quietly wait. Many of us have a problem with that. My brother Anthony can tell you back there as a child, I had a problem with that. And there's a difference in waiting patiently and waiting outside the door like this for about 15 minutes. How about now? How about now? How about now? Like my children do me. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Can I have it now? Can I have it now? They're not waiting patiently. But we'll get it. There is an aspect of that too. We'll get into that in a little bit about the unjust judge that finally he just got weary and said, just give it to her. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Brother Branham says this, and I know, 1960. He says, you say, Brother Branham, I'm sitting here waiting for the prayer line. God's working that just exactly for the good. Why was that precious little boy the other day stricken blind when he was born? That God might get glory and turn a city upside down. Sure, God knows what he's doing. God knows, and he puts us on the ash heap in order to show his glory. So this morning I say this, friends, and after 31 years of ministry, after 31 years of toils of the field, I want to make my testimony to this. I've seen disappointments. Didn't promise us it'd be a fiery bed of ease and that everything would just go right. No, he said, I've seen disappointments. I've seen the time I've asked for things and cried for things and begged for things and failed to get them. But if I'll just wait patiently upon God, then I know that it works out just exactly right. Just comes out just exactly right. Does just exactly the right things. Maybe there's something that you've been waiting for. Maybe you've prayed for it. Maybe you've cried for it. Maybe you've begged for it and God's told you no, or he's told you wait a while. And you're looking and you're seeking, God, why won't you give this? Why won't you move in this situation? And you're waiting and you're waiting. And maybe it'll never happen the way that you expected it to. But he'll reveal to you in his timing that it was for your own good. As I talked a couple weeks ago about Philip and Nathaniel with the pocket knife. They think they're ready for it. I don't think they're ready for it. I don't want them to come in and say, Daddy, can you take us to the emergency room? So they have to wait. Eventually they'll get to the spot to where I believe that they'll be responsible enough to receive it. And I can give it to them. There's other things that maybe we ask God for and he knows, well, maybe we'll never be responsible enough for him to give it to us. And we wait and we wait and we wait and we never get to that spot. And God shows us later, well, I was working this for your good and I worked it around this way and you're expecting this, but I gave you this instead. And it was something that was better for you. It was something that was more needful for you. We try to figure it all out and work it all out. But God's moving in the background in ways that we can't understand. God's moving in the background in ways that we can't explain to work it all out to our own good. God's changing people's opinions. He's changing people's motives. He's changing circumstances. He's changing all kinds of things in the background to work it to your good, to where maybe that boss that you never thought would give you a raise or never thought you'd have his approval, God's changing something in the background to where one day he'll come to you and say, you know what, I recognize there's something different about you. I don't know what it is, but I feel led to do this or that. Or maybe that circumstance in your life that the doctors have given you up and it seems like there's no hope, but yet somewhere down inside your body, God's beginning to change things. Maybe you don't even realize it yet, but he's beginning to move and beginning to heal in ways that maybe, Brother Bram said, if you say you got your hand prayed for, and he said, you wake up the next day and you say, I can move my finger. He said, well, don't just give up. He said, wait till you can move the next finger and just keep going and keep going. God just continually working. Sometimes it's a miracle and it just all takes place at once, and other times it's something gradual that we receive it inch by inch and mile by mile, and we walk along, we build faith and we build faith and we build faith until one day we walk into it. But God has it under control, and he knows what's best for us, and he knows what the timing is. And if we'll just wait patiently on him and not just wait and say, well, I guess I'm just never going to get it. No, we wait with hope because we have the promise. We have the promise. We know what his word said. And we know he's more than able to fulfill what his word said. So we can wait with hope to look. God, I know you said it. I don't know when it's going to take place. And I don't know how it's going to take place. And it may come in a way that I'm not expecting. But I know you promised it in your word. So I'm going to hold to it until it's fulfilled in the way that you want to fulfill it. Brother Bram says, and make the valley full of ditches, 1952. He said, just like today when a Christian boy marries a sinner girl or a sinner girl a Christian boy. That starts something right there. See, don't get married unless you're equally yoked together with believers, you know, to keep trouble down, see. Now, when God made men and women in the beginning, he made their spirits then. He said, there's someone for you, just wait. There's someone for you, just wait. That's the problem that many of us get into. We don't want to wait on God to lead us. We don't want to wait. I had one sister a few years ago. She asked me what to do about something. I gave her that quote. I said, just wait. Wait on God, he'll lead you to somebody. And she waited till the divorce papers, the ink was dried on somebody else and got her a husband. She didn't wait on God. We should wait on God. As I said last week, many times we look at the object, whatever it is, whether it's a wife, a husband, a vehicle, a home, a job. We get so focused on the object. God, this is what I need. This is what I want. This is what I'm looking for. And we're looking and we're looking and we're looking. We're focused on the object instead of focusing on God is really what we should be waiting on. God, is it your timing? God, is it your will? God, is this what you would have for me? And stop focusing on the object. We get so obsessed with that Lord, this is what I'm waiting on this. I'm waiting on this. I'm waiting. No, we should be waiting on Him. Waiting on Him with hope that, God, if this isn't what you'd have for me, I know you'll lead me to whatever your perfect will would be. I'm depending on you. I'm depending on your word, not my desires, not my thoughts, but I'm hoping for the manifestation of the word in my life according to the way that you would bring it. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Jesus speaking here, but wait, he said, for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Here they go up. Jesus is raised from the dead. They've seen him in a resurrected body. No doubt their hearts are on fire, and they're expecting great things. And he tells them, wait. Wait. You can imagine, Lord, here you are in a resurrected body. Surely you're going to come and just take over the kingdom now. And my, we're just going to go and show those Romans and show those Jews that persecuted you and killed you that you're back. And he tells them, no, you just go wait in an upper room, and I'll come and fill you with the Holy Ghost in my time. He didn't tell them how long. They knew not many days. They didn't know what that meant, whether it was 2 days or 14 days or 37 days. They just knew not many days, whatever that meant to the Lord. And they go up there and they begin to wait, and they wait, and they wait, and they begin to fellowship and to tarry one for another. And then on a certain day, about the 10th day, they begin to get in one heart and one accord. And all the little differences and doctrines and ideas and these men who had been arguing over who was the greatest a few years before, they begin to fellowship and to talk about what God had done, how He'd raised up Jesus from the dead, how they'd seen Him and the wonderful things that they'd done, how terrible they felt for walking away and leaving Him there at the cross. And they begin to fellowship and to minister one another. And all of a sudden they got in one heart and one accord. And there came a sound like a mighty rushing wind. But they had to wait. You say, Brother Nathan, I've been to the altar and I've prayed and I've sought God and I got back up and I didn't feel any change. Well, you just keep waiting with hope. And you just keep praying with hope. And if God doesn't fill you with the Holy Ghost today, you go right to prayer the next day and say, God, I'm back again. I'm waiting with hope. I believe. I've repented. I've been baptized to the name of the Lord Jesus. And you promised, and it's a promise in your word, that you'd fill me with the Holy Ghost. So here I am again, Lord, waiting with hope. And you keep waiting with hope, and you keep waiting with hope. And one day, faith will bring about the evidence of the thing that you didn't see. Maybe you didn't see a change. Maybe you didn't see the Spirit moving in your life. And then all of a sudden, one day, you realize, those things that I used to desire, I don't desire them anymore. And those worldly things that I used to want to go and do, now I just have a desire, seem like, to be in the Word more and listen to more tapes and to pray more and to seek God more. And that hope and that waiting on the promise, not just hoping without any foundation for it, but hoping knowing that there's a promise to go along with it. That God, you gave me something to hope for. You gave me something to anchor down to. I'm claiming it and I'm standing on it and I'm waiting for it. And one day, I know you'll bring it to pass. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow, but I know someday it's going to anchor down. And you don't just give up and walk away, but you come back the next day with hope. You come back the next day with hope. Abraham could have looked in the mirror, gone out there, looked in the glass and said, no, I'm still missing those teeth and still got that back pain and those wrinkles still there, but I'll go back and look at the mirror the next day with hope. 25 years he went like that, and one day he walked in there and the mirror, he couldn't see it anymore. Because where he'd had it down there where he stooped over, he was, wait a minute, what's going on here? And he peeks down, those teeth are back, and that those wrinkles are gone. And he said, glory to God, I waited with hope, and I waited with hope, and I waited with hope, but it's finally here. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He didn't have to hope for it anymore once he got it, but until he received it, 25 years, he had to wait with hope. Psalms chapter 16, verse 8 and 9 says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. my flesh also shall rest in hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. There's others that have no hope. Maybe they had a mommy or a daddy. Maybe they didn't get to tell them goodbye. Maybe they didn't get to make things right with them before God took them off the scene. And they don't have any hope of ever being able to see that loved one again. But we have hope. We have hope this morning to be able to see those loved ones come walking through the door someday in a different body, those dimensions blending together. He said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. There's others that don't have that hope, but I thank God that we have that hope this morning. That we have that hope, that we don't have to, when those loved ones go beyond the veil, we don't have to think, oh my, I'll never see him again. No, I will see him again. Because I have hope in the promise of God that he'll bring it to pass. Because everything else he's promised in his word, I've seen him bring it to pass. So why would I doubt in that promise? Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope for the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Many times we pray for patience, and then God tries to give us patience, and we don't like the way the patience comes. Maybe God gives you a high-tempered spouse, or maybe he gave you some hyperactive children, or maybe he gave you a boss that's always on you about something, or maybe he made you a pastor and gave you a congregation that, you know, they you preach and you preach and you preach and you wonder if they're really, if it's really getting through. He has ways of giving you patience. I mean, you pray, God, give me more patience. You better be careful what you pray for sometimes. God will give you patience, but it may not come in the way you wanted it. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experienced, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. He says, experience bringeth hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Now, we can stand here this morning, those of you that have been coming to the church very long, you know that, you know, we don't have to worry if somebody gets sick in the church. We can have hope that they're going to be healed. Because we've seen it happen so many times. And people come up and they get prayed for and they go back and they're healed. And they get sick again, they come up and they get prayed for and they go back and they get healed. And we see it time after time and after time. And what has it done? Experience has given us hope. Where maybe the first couple times you thought, Lord, I don't know. I don't know if I have enough faith. But then you realize you had a little bit more faith than you thought you did once you got in the presence of God. And then the next time you get sick, or the next time the bank account's running a little low, or there's a problem in the family or something, you can come back up for prayer with hope, because experience has showed you that you can have hope in the Word of God, and that you can have hope in the prayer of faith. And then hope gives us not a reason to be ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed to testify about it. I got prayed for, Brother Jimmy, but don't tell nobody. I don't want to bring a reproach. I don't want somebody to think I'm a holy roller. Hope maketh not ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed of what you believe. You don't have to be ashamed to claim your healing. You don't have to be ashamed to claim your salvation, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be ashamed, because you have hope this morning, because you've seen it, and experience has showed that God has proved his word time and time and time again, so you can come boldly before the throne of God with hope, without being ashamed that he's going to bring it to pass. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care of the oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. He's telling his friend, if you're going to do something, you don't have to wonder, well, God, I don't know. You led me to do this, but I just don't know what's going to happen. No, you plow in hope. You come up for prayer and hope. You go to your job every day and hope that God's going to bless you and God's going to provide for you. You do whatever it is. If you've got a ministry, it might be a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or a missionary, whatever it is that God's calling you to be. You go and you perform it with hope, and you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how God's going to use you, but you go and do what He leads you to with hope, and He'll show you what He's going to do. If God cares enough for the oxen to tell them, hey, don't muzzle the oxen, let him eat a little bit too while he's plowing, then He's telling us a lesson that you can plow in hope that, hey, if I took care of an ox, I can take care of you. If He took care of the sparrow, He can provide for His children. Amen. He that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3, For we which have believed do enter into rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. We sing that song, it's already done. We say that when we pray for people, it's a finished work at Calvary. Healing, salvation, peace, whatever it is, it's a finished work. But Hebrews chapter 4 tells us, the works were finished from the foundation of the world. God already knew that you'd be sitting here. God already knew what your need would be. And He already had intervened and provided a way before the foundation of the world. As we heard Brother Branham say on the tape, I believe it was Sunday night, he said that Jesus, if He came and was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, He said, then you had to be saved before the foundation of the world, if you ever was saved. He said, you wasn't saved on some certain date, but when He died before the foundation of the world, He was already slain in God's mind, in God's thinking. It was already a finished work. And when He was slain for you in God's thinking, you were saved in God's thinking before the foundation of the world. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stay up late at night and bite your fingernails and say, oh God, am I saved? Am I going to be in a rapture? It's a finished work from the foundation of the world. Your healing, your salvation, your peace. We're just waiting for the manifestation of it. Paul said the whole creature, the whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And yet in one sense, it's already a finished work. It's already completed before the foundation of the world. We're just waiting on time to catch up. We're waiting. Luke chapter 18 verse 1, He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? Didn't say it would happen right then. Didn't say it would happen right away, but said, if you keep crying out to God and you keep seeking God with hope, Lord, I need an answer. Lord, I'm coming to you again. He said, won't even God hear like the unjust judge after a while and say, you know, I'm going to grant you your petition because I see that you've waited, and you've waited with hope, and you haven't wavered. The faith and the promise is kept, just like Abraham. We claim to be the children of Abraham, and he waited 25 years on the promise without seeing a bit of change for year after year after year. And we come and we get prayed for, and on Monday, oh, my tooth is still hurting. I guess I just didn't get healed, a child of Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through faith. He staggered not through unbelief, but he kept strong in the faith, knowing that God that was able. And then even after Isaac was born, here he comes and he sees this child, and he goes up to about 12 or 14 years of age, and God says, go take his life. And he went up and he said, friends, he said, you wait here, and I and the lad will come back. Paul picks up on it in Hebrews, and he said he knew that he that was able to receive him as one from the dead was able to bring him back from the dead. He had confidence. He didn't know how it was going to happen. He didn't know what all the details were going to be, but he had confidence in God that he had waited this long for the promise, that God was able to hold true to his promise. Birth pains, 1965. The musicians would come. He says they found no better way for a baby to get what it wants besides God's way for it. Now, when a little baby is born, you could sell a bell, set a bell down here beside his crib, say, my little son, I'm a theologian in the way. I've read books on how to raise a baby. And I'll tell you, you're a modern child. You've been born in a modern home by a modern parent. When you're hungry or need mother or I, just ring the little bell. He said, it'll never work. The only way that it can get what it wants is to cry for it. He said, that's God's way. And that's the way that we get what we want, is cry for it. Cry out. Don't be ashamed. Say, I'm hungering for God. Don't care whether the deacons or the pastor or whatever's around. Scream out anyhow. The Joneses are sitting there. The Joneses are sitting there this morning. The deacon, the pastor, the Joneses. He said this, 50, 60 years ago, but it's still true this morning. The Joneses are sitting there. What a difference does it make? Cry out. That's the only way there is to get it until you get help. He taught that when he was here on earth, about the unjust judge. If you've got a need this morning, don't be ashamed. Hope doesn't make us ashamed. Hope gives us the victory to be able to walk through and to keep pressing, that if we don't get an answer today, we're going to keep crying out to God, and we'll have an answer tomorrow. If we don't have an answer tomorrow, we'll keep crying out to God, and he'll bring it to pass. He's faithful. We may not understand it. We may not understand the way that it's coming. We may not understand all the details, but if we'll wait with hope, he'll bring it to pass according to his will. We may not know the way that it's coming. We may not understand it all, but he's working it out for our good. Remember Romans 8:28? All things. All things. Even the trials, even the heartaches, even the hard times, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. It's working for our good and for his glory. Even though you may not be able to see it right now. Brother Branham said, you speak to that mountain. Jesus said, speak to the mountain, it'll be moved. He said, you might not see anything change. But he said, maybe on the back side of the mountain where you can't even see, a couple little pebbles roll off the back side of it. God's already working, but maybe you can't see it yet. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't depend on the senses, but depend on the promise.
Oh, I want what you want for me, dear Lord. Whatever, wherever it may be, 'cause I know that you know what's best.
Stand together this morning as they play that. Is that your heart's desire? Even if it doesn't align with what your thoughts or your ideas or your desires are, that you want what he wants. That you might want to see it brought to pass in a certain way, but he's working in the background, bringing something around that is greater than you could have ever imagined, greater than you could have ever planned it or ever thought, yet he's working it out for his perfect will. Not what I want, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Is that your desire this morning? What his will would be for your life?
I want what you want for me.
Yes, Lord.
I want what you want for me.
Let's just pray together this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, your people gathered together this morning. Lord, on this Mother's Day that we celebrate, but Father, your prophet said every day should be a Mother's Day. We should be thankful every day, Father, that you gave us a godly mother to raise us in the admonition of Christ. Lord, what a blessed people we are. And Father, many people facing decisions, facing circumstances in their life, maybe they've sought you and they've sought you, and they don't understand why maybe you haven't moved in exactly the way they thought you would, Father. But help them to take hope this morning, Father. Help them to take courage to see that, Father, even though we may not have the evidence of it visually, yet we can continue to hope for the promise, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it, even when we don't feel a change or we don't see a change in that loved one that we're holding on to or that we've applied the token to, yet we can still hope for the promise because it's in your word, Father. We can hope and we can come by experience, Father, to see what you've done for others you can do for us. We can see by experience that you've answered prayer in the past, Lord, and come with hope and faith, knowing that you're able to perform again for the need in our life, Jesus. Help us to come boldly before the throne of God. Help us not to give up hope, even if the doctors have given up hope, even if our family has given up hope. Father, help us not to give up hope this morning, but continue just to wait in hope, Father, for the promise to be fulfilled. Give us faith and courage, Father, for the journey. Jesus Christ's name we pray.
I want what you want for me, dear Lord. Wherever, whatever it may be, 'cause I know that you know what's best, my Lord. I know what you want for me. I want what you want for me.
We can have a peace about it this morning, 'cause he's got it all in He's got it all in control. He put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all. Even when we can't understand, even when we can't see. Oh, he's got it all in control. Every situation, he's got it all in control. Lord, you put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. So I know I put my life in his hands.
He's got it all in control. Oh, what a mighty God Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God I know He is. Can you testify of that this morning? Oh, heaven and earth adore Him. His people bow before Him. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Your experience should give you hope in that. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Little bride, do you know that He is? Oh, what a mighty God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. All of heaven and earth adore Him. His little bride bows before Him. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. One more time together, let's just worship Him this morning. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your mercy to us. Oh, what a mighty God I know He is. We worship You, Father. We love You. We adore You. All of heaven and earth adore Him. His little bride bows before Him. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. If you got a handkerchief or a songbook, let's just give Him a wave offering this morning. Oh, what a mighty God. Oh, Father, we know that You are this morning. Oh, what a mighty God. We praise You, Father. Thank You for Your mercy, Lord. Thank You for Your power. Thank You for answering prayer. Heaven and earth adore Him. How we love to bow before Him. Oh, and what a mighty God my Jesus is. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, what a mighty God King Jesus is. We praise You, Father. We lift glory to Your name for the mighty works that You've done, Lord. For the experiences that You've given us. For the testimonies that we have, Father. Oh, all of heaven and earth adore Him. Oh, little bride, just bow before Him. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Let's sing it again. Oh, what a mighty God. Oh, what a mighty God He is. What a mighty God I know He is. Thank You, Father. Heaven and earth adore Him. We love to bow before Him. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. It's that old time Holy Spirit, and the devil won't go near it. That's the reason people fear it, but it's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time. it's good enough for me. It will make you stop your lying. It'll save you when you're dying. It will start the devil flying. Lord, it's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Lord, it's good enough for me. Well, it's so good I want no other. For it makes me love my brother. And it brings things from undercover. Lord, it's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old. Aren't you thankful for it? Oh, give me that old time religion. It's good enough. It makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Lord, it's good enough for me. Give me that old. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Oh, it's so good I want no other. For it makes me love my brother. And it brings things from undercover. Lord, it's good enough for me. Just give me that old. Lord, give me that old time religion. Lord, it's good enough for me. Well, it was good for Paul and Silas. Oh, it was good for Paul and Silas. And it's good enough for me. Just give me that old. That old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Oh, it's that old time Holy Spirit. The devil won't go near it. That's the reason people fear it. But it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Yes, Lord, give me that old time. God bless you. Dismissed. Service 7:30 Wednesday.